Today on Fellowship in the Word, Pastor Bill Gebhardt challenges you to become a fully functioning follower of Jesus Christ.
See how deep the roots run? Peter has already stood up to the Sanhedrin. Now he won't stand up to people in the church. That's the way it is. Let me say this. If you've spent your childhood and your teen years worried about what others thought of you, you worried about it constantly, you always want to try to fit in, you don't want anyone to disapprove of you and anyone to ever reject you, you'll struggle with this the rest of your life.
Thank you for joining us today on this edition of Fellowship in the Word with Pastor Bill Gebhardt. Fellowship in the Word is the radio ministry of Fellowship Bible Church, located in Metairie, Louisiana. Let's join Pastor Bill Gebhardt now as once again he shows us how God's Word meets our world.
Peter wants to follow the Lord, but not so closely that it might have cost him more than he's willing to pay. I know a lot of people like that. Oh, I want to follow the Lord, but not so costly that it's going to make me really have to pay something, especially like the disapproval and rejection of a group of people. So he stayed his distance. We want the approval of the Lord, but we don't want the rejection of an unbelieving world. And you can't have it both ways. You just can't. I mean, Jesus wasn't just using hyperbole alone when he said, the world will hate you because the world first hated me. If they hate me, they're going to hate you. Unless you fear them, unless you want their approval, unless you'll do anything to make sure they don't reject you, then the world might like you. But you're a disappointment to God. You see, that's what worldliness is. I accommodate the world because I fear the rejection of man. He had pride. He failed to pray. He followed Jesus from afar. And I guess you could read into this. He found fellowship in all the wrong places. Who was he warming himself with? What group of people did he surround himself in this epic night? The very people that hated Christ. He thought, hey, can I get in here? You see, what was the small talk like? What was really going on? Charles Spurgeon, the great English preacher, said this. Peter was on dangerous ground. When his master was being buffeted, he was trying to make himself comfortable. We read, he said, of the high priest's servants, rough servants of ill masters. He was in bad company, and he was a man who could not afford to be in bad company, for he was so impulsive, so fleshly, and so easily provoked to rash actions. The great Bible commentator Matthew Henry said, those that warm themselves with evildoers grow cold toward good people and good things. He was finding fellowship in the wrong place. That's all you have to do. Just surround yourself with people of the world. Just do it. And you'll become just like them. That's the way it works. And why? Because you fear them. It's astounding. But we are capable of just those kind of things. You know, a person can be at a cooler in the office or at a job site, and a bunch of people around them are having lunch and telling off-color jokes. And now you bring up one from your past. One that you remember, and they all laugh and think, isn't that great? But I don't think Jesus laughs. You see, why did you bring that up? I want to fit in. I just got to fit in. I want them to approve of me. I don't want them to reject me at any cost. The fear of man is pervasive. The reality, it can happen to any of us. It happened to Peter. The reasons, pride, failure to pray, following Christ from afar, having fellowship with the wrong people in the wrong place. There's something really important, and maybe the most important thing about this. And that's this: the roots of fearing people run deep. The roots of fearing people run deep. I want to illustrate that. Go with me now to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. Now Jesus is crucified, he's resurrected, he's ascended. The church began in Acts chapter 2. Peter is now the apostle for the nation Israel. He is the apostle to the Jews, Paul the apostle to the Gentiles. They are the two top men in the world for the cause of Jesus Christ. Peter has done remarkable things. He has preached tremendous sermons. He has led countless people to Christ. He has performed miracles. He has healed people. He raised the dead. He has done some amazing things. He went out with John, and they were incarcerated for it. And when they got out, they appeared before the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin said to him, "Don't do that again. We don't want you going out and talking about Jesus Christ anymore." And you know what Peter said to them? "We have to obey God rather than man. You leave us out, we're going to go do it." What courage! You see, he wasn't afraid anymore. But the roots of fearing people run deep. Verse 11, chapter 2, Galatians. Paul writing, "But when Cephas," that's Peter, "but when Peter came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. For prior to the coming of certain men from James," James is the Lord's brother, he is the lead elder in the church of Jerusalem. These are men who came from Jerusalem. These are believers. They are called Judaizers. They believe in sort of welding together points of Judaism and their faith in Christ. They have a lot of trouble with the idea that Gentiles are going to be included into the body of Christ. He says, "But prior to the coming of certain men from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles," that's Peter. "But when they came, he began to withdraw and hold himself aloof." And there it is, fearing the party of the circumcision. He's afraid. What if they don't like me? What if they go back to Jerusalem and they say they don't like me? What if they disapprove of what I'm doing? What's James going to say? What are people going to think? These are people within the body of Christ, and he's afraid of them. He said the rest of the Jews joined him in hypocrisy, with the result that even Barnabas was carried away by their hypocrisy. Which is kind of ironic. Why would a Gentile not eat with Gentiles? But Barnabas is all caught up. Peter's not doing it. For the rest of that chapter, by the way, Paul really gives Peter a lot of problems. He says, "When I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter in the presence of them all, 'If you, being a Jew, live like Gentiles and not like Jews, how is it that you compel Gentiles now to start living like Jews?'" Peter, you've been eating everything. You've been eating with the Gentiles. They're not unclean. The food's not unclean. Now you want the Gentiles to start acting like Jews. What is wrong with you? I can tell you, he fears man. And by the way, of all people, turn with me back to the book of Acts chapter 11. I want you to see something else. Acts chapter 11. I want you to see how deep these roots run. In Acts chapter 11, in verse 5, this is Peter talking. Peter says, "I was in the city of Joppa, and I was praying, and in a trance, and I saw a vision, an object coming down like a great sheet, lowered by four corners from the sky, and it came right down to me. And when I had fixed my gaze on it, and observing it, I saw the four-footed animals of the earth, and the wild beasts, and the crawling creatures, and the birds of the air. I also heard a voice saying to me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' But I said, 'By no means, Lord, for nothing unholy or unclean has ever entered my mouth. I'm a Jew, kosher only. I would never eat this kind of stuff.' But a voice from heaven answered a second time and said, 'What God has cleansed, no longer consider unholy.'" It's all clean, Peter. By the way, this is God speaking. This happened three times, and everything was drawn back up into the sky. Three times God said, Peter, you can eat anything. Peter, you can eat anything. Peter, you can eat it. That's God telling him. So what happens when some men from Jerusalem show up? I don't think I can eat that. Why? I don't want them to not like me. What if they reject me? What if I'm not approved of by them? You see how deep the roots run? Peter has already stood up to the Sanhedrin. Now he won't stand up to people in the church. That's the way it is. Let me say this. If you've spent your childhood and your teen years worried about what others thought of you, you worried about it constantly, you always want to try to fit in, you don't want anyone to disapprove of you or and anyone to ever reject you, you'll struggle with this the rest of your life. Because it's part of your identity. I want to please people. I want them to like me. Now, please understand, someone usually comes up to me like a week later and says, you know, it hasn't worked out for me. You told us that we should be unlikable. No. That's not what I'm saying. If it's possible, we should be at peace with everybody. You know, that's our part. But the point is, we should not fear the disapproval or rejection of others. There is the reality of the fear of fearing people, even Peter, the reasons Peter had, pride, lack of prayer, following Christ from a distance, fellowship in the wrong places, and the roots of fearing people run deep. Most important question, I guess, is this. How do you resolve that? What is the resolution? Oh, it's about as simple as something could be. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And before I read that verse, I could have gone to a place in like Matthew or Mark. It's real simple. Remember when they tried to trick Jesus and they said to him, you know, of all the 600 laws and ordinances in the Old Testament, why don't you tell us which one's the greatest? Because they figured they could argue it no matter what he said. Jesus, of course, I'm sure was amused by that. Didn't take any moment to answer it at all. Said, that's easy. Love the Lord your God. And love him with all your heart. Love him with all your soul. Love him with all your mind. And you love him with all your strength. And you love your neighbor as yourself. You see, what is the resolution for fearing people? Replacing it with loving God. You see, if I love Christ enough, I don't fear people. There's another side. Not only replacing the fear I have of people with my love for Jesus Christ, but to replace the fear I have for people with love for people. You see, I have to replace them both. That's what Jesus said. And that's why Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14, he says this, for the love of Christ controls us. Having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. The love of Christ controls us. One translation says the love of Christ compels us. The word control is just two simple Greek words. One is soon and the other is echo. Soon echo. And echo means the idea of holding and soon means together. In other words, he says the love of Christ holds me together. It's the love of Christ that holds me together. That's why Paul isn't afraid of people. My love for Jesus Christ. You replace the fear of man with the love that you have for Jesus Christ. And how do I know that that's the truth? Well, we won't go to it because we've been to it a few weeks ago, but how about this? When Jesus Christ shows up again, resurrected, and he goes to spend time with Peter. Peter is fishing, if you remember the story. And then Jesus sits down with Peter. Now, Peter has to feel incredibly guilty. I've denied him three times. And what does Jesus say to Peter? Peter, do you love me? Remember that? Peter, do you agape me? And Peter said, yes, Lord, I phileo you. He said, Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, I phileo you. If Finally, Jesus says, Peter, do you phileo me? He goes, yes, Lord. Three times, Jesus says, do you love me? Then what? Peter said, yes. And so what did Jesus say? If you love me, replace the fear you had of men with your love for me. Now tend my sheep, feed the lambs. You see, now get about your business. That's what Jesus said. You got to love me. The fear of man is driven away by your love for Christ. Secondly, though, you replace your fear of man with your love for mankind. You see, it's the same exact kind of idea. Jesus said to us that we are the light of the world. You see, we are the light of the world. And he said, by being the light of the world, let your light shine among men in such a way that they will see who you are and that they will glorify my Father's in heaven. In other words, the best chance you ever have of influencing other people, any peer group, neighbors, relatives, people you work with, students, it doesn't matter, is to let your light shine, that they see your good works and glorify your Father who's in heaven. That's the way it works, because I love mankind. Let me illustrate that. Turn with me to Acts chapter 7, the last passage I want to look at, Acts chapter 7. By the way, if you want to read something just wonderful, the end of chapter 6, all the way through 7, it's Stephen, an early convert. Stephen loves the Lord. He has a lot of promise. His sermon, to me, in Acts chapter 7, is the greatest sermon in the New Testament apart from what Christ said. It's an amazing thing he says. What a wonderful sermon. But by the way, all of the powers to be hated him for it. He wasn't afraid of them at all. He told them the truth. He spoke the truth and loved them. But they did not like him for it. So when the sermon ends, verse 54, watch what happens. It says, now when they heard this, they were cut to the quick, and they began gnashing their teeth at him. By the way, in the Bible, when someone's gnashing their teeth at you, it's never a good thing. Okay? They are really upset. But being full of the Holy Spirit, he gazed intently into heaven, saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. But they cried out with a loud voice and they covered their ears and they rushed at him with one impulse. And when they had driven him out of the city, they began stoning him. And the witnesses laid aside their robes at the feet of a young man named Saul, who becomes the Apostle Paul. Just imagine how Paul felt his whole life. He's the Pharisee that probably orchestrated this. Stoning of Stephen, and he becomes the great apostle. By the way, it just shows you the grace of God. They went on stoning Stephen, and as he called on to the Lord, he said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Notice, he's ready. Lord, receive me. And then falling on his knees. Now, these are last words. Last words are really important. What's the last thing he's going to say? You see, what is it he's going to say right now? Then falling on his knees, he cries out with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this against them. And having said this, he fell asleep. Would that have been your last words? It should be. You see, did anyone else have last words like that? Did anyone ever hang on a cross and say, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do? Why would Stephen say that? Because he loved men. You see, he loved. He not only loved the Lord, he loved mankind. I've got to believe that there are people converted because of those words. Did you hear what he said? We're stoning this guy to death. The last thing he says, Lord, don't hold it against them. That's love. You see, what's the resolution for fearing people? Replace that fear with love for Christ and love for others. David Jeremiah says this, fear drains us while love empowers us. We cannot fear people and love people at the same time. We cannot sacrificially and unconditionally love others if our energy is directed toward protecting ourselves. When we love others, including those, he says, who can harm us, life is no longer about us, and fear of disapproval is driven away. When we love Christ more than we fear man, and when we love mankind more than we fear man, God uses us to advance his kingdom. And you know what we get out of it? Peace. Not guilt, not weeping, but peace. John Chrysostom, one of the great early believers in the fourth century, really the end of the, right in the beginning of the end of the fourth century. John Chrysostom, in the year AD 398, was appointed the patriarch of the Church of Constantinople. That was the number one job in the Eastern Church. And so Chrysostom said, well, good, because I want to reform this church. I want to get it back to being a biblically based organization. Well, when he tried to do that, by the way, he antagonized the Empress Eudoxia. She had absolute power. She was a monarch. She didn't like John at all, the kind of things he talked about, holiness, stuff like that. And so she put him in exile. And he went. But everybody loved John. So people demanded that Chrysostom come back to Constantinople. So she said, okay, I'll bring him back. So she brought him back. And as soon as he got back, he started right where he left off. He's going to reform everything. That made her really mad again. So Eudoxia took Chrysostom and permanently exiled him. Chrysostom then wrote this. He said, what can I fear? Will it be death? But you know that Christ is my life. I shall gain by death. Will it be exile? But the earth and all its fullness are the Lord's. In other words, it doesn't matter where I am. It's the Lord's. Poverty, he says, I do not fear. Riches, I do not sigh for. And from death, I do not shrink. For Christ is enough for me. That's when you stop fearing man. When Christ is enough. Let's pray. Father, I'm afraid that this fear of people, this idea of wanting the approval of others, fearing their rejection, is a very common fear among almost all of us. But it's a fear we hide even from ourselves. We need incidences like Peter's to bring it out. But Father, I pray, the next time we find ourselves accommodating the crowd around us because we fear them and their disapproval and their rejection, that these words from this message will convict our heart. Father, for those of us who feel the conviction already, may we pray constantly that we replace the fear of man in our life with our love and our loyalty to you and our love and compassion for people. Father, I pray this in the great name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Bill Gephardt on the radio ministry of Fellowship in the Word. If you ever miss one of our broadcasts, or maybe you would just like to listen to the message one more time, remember that you can go to a great website called oneplace.com. That's oneplace.com, and you can listen to Fellowship in the Word online. At that website, you will find not only today's broadcast, but also many of our previous audio programs as well. At Fellowship in the Word, we are thankful for those who financially support our ministry and make this broadcast possible. We ask all of our listeners to prayerfully consider how you might help this radio ministry continue its broadcast on this radio station by supporting us monthly or with just a one-time gift. Support for our ministry can be sent to Fellowship in the Word, 4600 Clearview Parkway, Metairie, Louisiana, 7006. If you would be interested in hearing today's message in its original format, that is, as a sermon that Pastor Bill delivered during a Sunday morning service at Fellowship Bible Church, then you should visit our website, fbcnola.org. That's fbcnola.org. At our website, you will find hundreds of Pastor Bill's sermons. You can browse through our sermon archives to find the sermon series you are looking for, or you can search by title. Once you find the message you are looking for, you can listen online, or if you prefer, you can download the sermon and listen at your own convenience. And remember, you can do all of this absolutely free of charge. Once again, our website is fbcnola.org. For Pastor Bill Gephardt, I'm Jason Gephardt, thanking you for listening to Fellowship in the Word.